Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
JB Weld. Today's podcast brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You got to keep it in your cupboard, your toolbox, your garage. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever you find finer products. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. Well, we talk about the bottom-friendly menu. You guys are going to need to hear it to believe it. I think it was from Postmates, and then getting some concert going, and Eric Stromer and his refrigerator box and all the trials and tribulations. We'll do that right after this.
This is Walk-In's Welcome with Bridget Fettesy.
I love hearing people's stories of resilience and grit. This is why I created this podcast.
We are very excited to welcome Jim Gaffigan,
Yasmin Mohammed,
Glenn Beck, Tim Dillon,
Abigail Schreier,
Jeff Garland,
Ayan Hirsi Ali,
Sam Harris,
Heather Hying,
Jonah Goldberg,
Ben Shapiro,
Glenn Greenwald,
Sarah Shahi,
Colin Quinn.
If there's a culture of victimhood, then let's tell stories of grit and survival.
Subscribe and listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, NHRA champion drivers John and Brittany Force. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, and now, the only thing he knows about January 6th is that he was still working off his hangover from January 1st. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The truth is going to get it on. And welcome to the show. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Gina Grad over there.
Hi.
And Bald Brian.
Yo, stop slapping bitches.
Well, good news. John Force is going to be in here with his daughter. They're both. John Force is probably the most prolific record-holding funny car. It says drag car racer, drag racer on here, but it's he doesn't race a dragster. He races a funny car.
For those of us in the know,
yeah, maybe he'd gotten holds many all-time records. He's got this huge palace with all the memorabilia and everything in it, and Yorba Linda up on a hill next to Mike August's house. So we'll talk to him, and then his daughter came in. And by the way, I was thinking about it. You know, we beef, and his daughter's a champion as well, Brittany Force, and then his daughter is married to Graham Rahal, who's Bobby Rahal. Mm. Bobby Rahal, of course, drove for Letterman's team, and there's lots of footage of Bobby Rahal, like, you know, winning Indy and stuff like that. And Letterman is there. Bobby Rahal also drove my Porsche 935 for a season or two when it was the Apple car and won Daytona. So he has this legendary dad with the son.
Dynasty.
Who, Graham, who runs Indy now. And then the daughter of John Force, the greatest quarter mile guy versus the road course
Indy
guys, and then they got together, and I hope they have offspring. I haven't checked.
This may surprise you, but I actually know who John Force is and kind of know a little bit about him, because you'd like to marvel occasionally, probably more and more as life goes on, how my family, my extended family, is full of like real men and people who did things, and not just people who do movie reviews on podcasts. And I spent a summer with my Canadian relatives. They're the ones who I told you do the logging sports, you know, the crazy, like, you know, climb the pole and do the logs and the real deal. They build log houses for a living. And he also, in his spare time, this is my Canadian relatives, do hot rodding, NHRA. And their bathroom reader was like the wit and wisdom of John Force. And it was like, oh, John Force is like Forcisms, right? Like, just, he's I wouldn't call him the clown prince of hot rod racing, but he's a personality.
Strong personality and a winner, and all the discussion of and then I'll circle back to the great Heart Like a Wheel, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, first female champion.
She logging sports?
Well, I was saying, in a world where everyone is like, oh, you're transphobic because you don't want the guy to swim with the girls. No, we don't want someone who has an advantage over the girls swimming with the girls. But the quarter mile, which actually has now been shortened to 1,000 feet because a quarter mile is too dangerous, I don't think anyone would have a beef if somebody transitioned and wanted to get in one of those funny cars one direction or the other, because there's no inherent advantage to being a woman or a female, or a male or female.
Well, you can weigh the car, right?
Well, that's true.
No, and not in the drag racing and funny car world. Because in the drag racing and funny car world, and we talked about, you know, in go-karts, I was over at the other shop the other day. Sean is over there, was explaining that his 11-year-old son would kick my ass on the go-karting track. And I said, I'm sure he would, because he's 114 pounds, and I'd be giving away 85 pounds to that kid. So, yes, when there's low horsepower, like in go-karts, and then in F1, when you're dealing with just thousands of a second one way or another, if a guy's carrying around an extra 20 pounds, it's going to make a difference. Drag racing, the cars have 8,000 horsepower or something. They have more horsepower than they really know what to do with.
So
and
you would notice.
The big key is getting the power to the rear wheels and not just sitting there and spinning and burning out and lighting them up. So a dude who weighed 65, 70 pounds more than a woman, there's no weight advantage in that car because, I mean, we'll ask them when they come in. Look, I'm sure you'd rather be light than heavy, but John is John is a full-figured guy.
One would.
And hasn't seemed to slow him down because there's more horsepower than you know what to do with. Anyway, so we'll talk to John and Brittany as well.
More about logging sports.
In the pantheon of I have no understanding of, but respect and appreciate the shit out of it, logging sports.
Yeah. I was actually decent at axe throwing for a fucking 16-year-old, 17, whatever I was. It was fun.
Well, now you go to any pub hipster bar and do it there. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, drunk guy, here's an axe.
Exactly.
Yeah. The craziest one is when they do the axe swinging from the plank that they notch in, and then they jump up on the plank and they get about 5 foot off the ground and they start swinging that axe. Yeah.
It's hot.
The whole thing is crazy. The scampering up the pole, the free fall down the pole. Yep, log rolling, I would have been good at. I could have done.
The up the pole is crazy. You got the strap, right? The hooks or whatever. And you
throw it.
Yeah. And you're up, then brrr, all the way down.
And of course, it's adjunct, but may weave in the dog drink jump, the dog leap into the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Sideshow.
The one that just goes off the end of the pier and the dog just goes full Superman.
Yeah, that's at halftime.
I'd watch the shit out of that as well. All right. So we have, in the pantheon of unbelievable commercials or advertisements. Now, we were talking last week about the San Francisco billboards and the New York subway. And it was like, if you're going to inject, don't inject. Smoke your heroin or snort it.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to inject, have a couple friends come around. They'll give you the Narcan when you flatline and they can wake you up. And we're like, these are advertisements. Yeah. Oh boy.
Suggestions.
We've crossed a certain line in society. And it seemed like 10 minutes ago, we're all marveling at the mixed couples in the Subaru commercial or the one with the transgendered kid or the gay couple or whatever. Oh, we're now way down the road. And I told Amy to look it up. I heard about it today. I haven't seen it. And I don't think this was run on TV, but it must have been online. Was Postmates?
I was just sending this to Emmy and Ben.
Oh, good. So you saw this.
I have lots of thoughts about this. A lot of my gay friends have weighed in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we need. So, Brian, you've not heard of this or seen this.
Buckle up.
What are you eating this Pride? Well, if you're a top, it seems like you can eat whatever you want.
If you're a top.
It's specific.
But if you're a bottom, you're expected to starve? Not this Pride. Introducing the bottom-friendly menu from Postmates.
Uh-huh. All right, pause it for a second.
This feels like a very specific demographic.
Brian, you seem very confused. Are you understanding so far what they're getting at?
I understand the notion of a top and a bottom. I didn't realize that bottoms were limited in their menu.
They are.
Is that
because, you know.
No. Okay. I'm very ignorant.
So let me coach you.
Is this a Dom
something?
You've
got to put bliss in front of ignorant. It's got to be blissful.
I don't know that I want to know. I want my life to be before knowing and after knowing.
Okay, so this is a PSA for anyone who's not on the up and up with the gay men's sex scene.
So if you're top, you can have tacos, as illustrated here.
Because you're not being penetrated. Like a lot of times you'll need, if you're going to be a bottom, there's an enema. A pre-sex enema to kind of clear you out. And so you can't just eat whatever you want as a bottom. You have to have a bowl of ice cubes and water, according to this.
Well, in peaches, wearing diapers.
A peach, and that's a jock strap.
Oh, it's a jock strap.
Obviously.
Sorry.
And those are like rainbow nipple clamps on the apricot.
Uh-huh. And they had a... next to the taco...
Oh, there's a piercing on the... on the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The nectarine.
I'm navigating this like a child. Is this to suggest that bottoms have certain foods cause incontinence?
No.
Oh.
It could be like some sort of like diarrhea situation.
No, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
I thought incontinence was just bladder.
No, explain. Like, I can't hold it in.
Let Postmates explain it
to this delicious commercial.
It's late. Now, the first one had a... I don't know what it was, dressed up in sort of hard,
like a leather
gay
daddy.
Leather. Yeah, leather daddy, as we talked about with the Village People, but that was a...
That's from Mad Max.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but...
Oh, what the vegetable is?
It's a large vegetable.
Maybe a summer squash?
It's not reading. All right, go ahead, continue, sorry.
But if you're a bottom, you're expected to starve? Aww. Not this pride. Introducing the bottom-friendly menu from Postmates. Aww. We teamed up with Dr. Evan Goldstein from Bespoke Surgical to bring you...
Hold on a second. I want to talk to Dr. Evan Goldstein's mom, like his Jewish parents. Hey, goodness. I know. Remember how you scrimped and saved for med school?
He's going to be mentioned in the national advertising.
He'll be the first doctor in this family.
Oh, my little love. I'm so happy.
I knew
I'm
he'd
dwelling.
Amount to something.
I have such nachas.
He's teamed up with Postmates.
Little boy chick.
We use Postmates.
I
remember
can't
we
wait.
Got the pizza?
I'm going to call Helen right now and tell everybody to watch this commercial.
Yeah,
what is
well,
it, a commercial
no.
about being a scientist?
I want to hear. Put it on speakerphone.
All right. Now, Martha, slow your roll.
Oh, I just can't. I'm so excited. I'm going to tell the whole Haveron
I'm
going
to ask
synagogue.
You to just put your phone down right now. I just don't want you texting or tweeting.
Oh, I can do neither on the jitterbug, but okay.
He's hooked up with Postmates.
Uh-huh.
Evidently, your son is a pretty well-regarded expert in bottoms.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He used to, all the to-go containers, he would check the bottom of the container to make sure there was no carcinogens.
No, no, no.
He was
proud. You know how some fellas like each other more than they like the ladies?
Well, sure. Marv likes Irving more than he likes Henry. That's why he carpools to golf with him.
And sometimes the way they express themselves physically... You know, more than just, you know, hugging and stuff.
Irving's got the funny t-shirts, you know.
Yeah, they always high five when Star they see Wars, that. It's very funny. It gives them a kiss on the cheek even sometimes.
Well, your son has gleaned. So in a relation, you know how you have a vagina?
Not that that's any of your business.
Easy. Oh, I'm sorry, but you have a penis. I mean, it's
okay.
It's,
we
it's
need
biblical.
To. We're gonna need to hang up.
Pretty. Yeah, but you see, when you're a gay couple,
we're a gay couple. We couldn't be gayer. Yeah, happy and gay.
No, I'm sorry. I meant homosexual couple. Were the fellas like the fellas? You know.
Oh, like Rob and Dana's kid. Yeah, the weird
this,
one.
Oh,
with
the
blue
weird
hair.
One. That's right. Yeah,
yeah,
with the piercings.
Like, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah. Like,
well, God can a horror.
Oh, you don't. You have a problem with him?
Huh?
Okay. Well, it's going to get worse. Then when there's a fella, and then he lives with and sometimes marries another fella, you know, and they want to have like a intercourse, like a sexual relationship.
I love
you know?
The car.
And
I want to go get it.
No, but no, then, Merv, you stay right here. Well, if I have to listen, so do you.
There's promise. There's so then there's.
You're talking about two
fellas.
Okay,
and then they both have a penis. You know,
well,
but there is no place to to where would they put the
penis? Thank you. Conversation right. over. There's nowhere to put the penis.
Dr. Rustin, the doctor.
They didn't stop there. Usually, a lot of times, the way, like you guys, you're a couple. You've been together for a long time.
47 feels wonderful years.
Feels like forever.
And I know you both like musicals, right?
Of course. Starting here, starting now.
She drags
right.
me right.
Everything's coming right. up roses.
Right, all right, all right. But this is not that.
Oh.
This is, one of you would have to like the one part, and then
I'm sorry, I'm not following all this, Michigan.
So okay, so somebody has to put the penis somewhere, but then somebody has to accept the penis.
Enemy.
You know,
like FedEx.
Oh well, yeah. Oftentimes the cast,
in
so
a musical.
I'm just gonna go ahead and steam ahead here.
He's talking about O Calcutta,
and this is. So that person we called the top, like your husband would get on top of you.
I think Marv is the top. And he's the Colosseum.
How would he do surgery from underneath?
And then, yeah, and then the bottom. Well, let's just run this commercial from the beginning, from the top.
Oh, okay,
I brought
make it
a visual for you guys. Okay. It's going to kind of lay it out.
Very good.
What are you eating this pride? Well,
not pussy.
Top, it seems like
why
you
is that summer squash dress like
Liza
Minnelli?
Summer squash.
Bob Mackie.
But if you're a bottom, you're expected to starve? Not this pride.
Is that peach
introducing
and an eye patch?
The bottom-friendly menu from Postmates. We teamed up with Dr. Evan Goldstein from Bespoke Surgical to bring out a menu of bottom-friendly foods backed by science. Insoluble fiber won't help you feel cute. So
what's that
avoid
rainbow?
Things like whole grains, wheat bran, cauliflower, potatoes, legumes. Hold up. Are you just fully diving into those beans? The problem with these foods is they don't dissolve in water, which could cause a traffic jam in your digestive system, making a mess of your evening. Speaking of messy, it's a good idea to avoid dairy.
I cannot handle lactose right now. Look at her.
Girl. If you're going to eat something insoluble, give your body about 24 hours to process all of it.
So your son came
soluble
up with
fibers
all this.
And protein are the key to having some good, clean fun. These all digest easily and slowly while feeding your good gut bacteria, which makes sushi a great bottom-friendly option. There's no right or wrong way to bottom, but if you're planning on getting peachy this pride, the bottom-friendly menu on Postmates has the kinds of foods that could keep you feeling good.
If you're a bottom and you're having trouble keeping it all in, wouldn't it behoove you to eat constipating foods? Or am I being incredibly ignorant?
Think about the old Heinz ketchup commercial. You tap it a little bit and all the ketchup comes out.
Oh,
one little poke in the wrong direction.
I think it's best just to have, you know, I would treat it like, you know, before surgery where they go, no.
Right.
And, yeah, but the point is Postmates has come up with a bottom-friendly menu. I would also argue that if you're a veteran bottom like me,
you got to figure it out.
This is
you've
something.
Been down the road.
I've been on the internet once or twice and perused the shopping list.
You've been okay. down that Hershey highway.
Would you like to know what some of the gay men in the community are saying
please,
about this? At least
please.
In my community.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a little carrot, a little stick. At first. They were like, wow, this is impressive that not only are they paying attention to Pride, but they are really paying attention.
I mean,
attention.
They're directly addressing
yes.
a specific issue.
As opposed
issue.
To, you know, slapping a rainbow sticker on
sure.
a McDonald's menu and going,
right.
look, we participated. This
right.
is like, they're pot committed.
Yes.
Here's the problem. Now, this is not something either of you would have known. It's not something I would have known. In the gay community.
I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a lot of eating disorders because of this, and they think it promotes eating disorders
uh-huh.
as a bottom.
Oh, trying to address the dietary.
Yeah, like this is all you're allowed to eat as a bottom, and it's going to cause them to have more disordered eating.
Yeah, because it's a constant thing.
Yeah.
So if you're having a relationship and it's sexually fruitful,
sure.
you never know when the time is right,
right,
like the Cialis commercial.
Right.
And so you can't just have a big hoagie
no.
for lunch.
It's the last thing you should be having.
And then that's now you're into dietary restrictions.
Right. Constantly thinking about it.
And now it's your job to kind of think about it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the tops are just ballooning up, carb loading.
Need a cut, man.
Doing whatever they yep. please. So this is great. Much like they say, like with modeling or something like that. These women are having eating disorders because there's a constant pressure.
Wet cotton balls.
Yes.
So yeah. that's exactly, you got it exactly right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's like on one hand, like, wow, way to really do your research, Dr. Goldstein, and like mm-hmm. really talk to us. Uh-huh. On the other hand, it's a little dangerous to tell bottoms they're really never allowed to eat much.
Well,
and that's where we are, everybody.
In the pantheon of advertisements.
Wow.
It's awesome. Yeah. I would love Christie's thoughts on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, seriously.
So, shifting gears, I went.
It's all about racing with you.
It's all about it. And with the Force family that's coming right. in, I can't wait.
But great last name, by the way.
It is. Definitely tops all the way around.
No. Tops.
With the Force family.
Hey, I'm sorry to divert the subject real quick, but Gina, I don't expect you to speak for the whole community, but is there some fluidity with tops and bottoms, or are you committed? You pick a lane early in life?
That's a good question. I only know one person that can.
Randy Wang.
That's ambidextrous.
Yes.
But in general, I don't really know anyone who
not
like,
a lot of utility
switch
players
hits.
In the league.
Yeah. Not that I know. That, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know.
Craig Biggio played catcher and second base.
That's because what I was going to say.
But did he enjoy catcher as much as he enjoyed second base?
No, he's a Hall of Famer. You have to ask him.
I got to say,
he has 3,000 hits.
I also know, or by the way, my information is based on having a gay friend at the Acme Comedy Theater and getting everything I know from him.
So your gay information stopped 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's basically, I think there's a lot of gay couples that just do oral.
Mm.
I think it's just, because you think about it.
Huh.
Anal is... that's a commitment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it also means the bottom has to constantly be on the restricted diet.
The
there's
diet,
all,
yeah.
all kinds of enemas and things to work out.
Pandering advertisements
it's
popping
like,
up.
It's like having a special needs child. You know what I mean? You couldn't just get up and go to the market and tell them to watch TV.
Sure.
You could set the fucking apartment on
right.
fire.
You have to
it's a constant,
care.
Constant special van
Thank
for
you.
The bottom, you know, with the lift. It's a lot. It's a calorie burner.
Right.
And I'm saying at some point relationships get a little lazy, and I feel like my gay relationship would just drift into some oral world.
Well, I can imagine.
And also, you're always on an equal footing.
Yeah,
you
but I can imagine I know for a fact, not mine, because I'm a newlywed, but mm-hmm. there are people out there in straight relationships that only do oral because like she's not into it anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, all right.
To your point, I think that that's a thing.
I have much more to get into, but just a sidebar.
No, only this for the next hour.
We had...
So John Force thinks.
I had Stromer in here, and we're doing our home improvement show, and Stromer regaled me with a story that I forgot about, which is, well, we ended up talking to a school teacher who was retired, 65-year-old woman, and I forgot that when I was in Napa touring around and drinking wine and eating cheese, a group.
Like a good bottom.
Yes.
A terrible idea,
obedient bottom. One of the groups I was sort of walking around with was a delightful group out of, oh, God, let's say Chicago area. It was two daughters and a mom.
Oh, nice.
And the mom was celebrating her 63rd birthday or something, and the daughters took her out, blah,
nice.
Blah, blah.
Nice.
And the mom seemed fit and spry and enjoying herself and youngish. And so I asked her, what do you do? And she said, I'm retired. And I said, oh, really? Seems so young. And she said, well, I was a school teacher. And I said, when did you retire? And she said, it's been 10, 13 years by
what?
Now or something. And I said, what? How does that work? We forget. He said, well, I started teaching when I was 22, and 30 years in,
yeah.
I hit retirement.
You get a pension.
And I was 52, and I took my full benefits, and I went home.
Didn't we all have old teachers?
Very,
yes.
Very
Although,
old teachers.
Although, when you were 9,
That's true.
49,
yeah, yeah.
And but also... They smelled of mothballs.
Yeah,
they wore cardigan sweaters. Yeah, they had their hair up like Aunt
B. A lot of denim vests with patches.
Mrs. Wolk, when I had Mrs. Wolk, she was probably 34, but looked like Aunt B.
Yes.
I mean, they were their house frows.
Matronly.
The matronly. So they looked the part. But yeah, I did. I had Mr. Spaeth. Mr. Spaeth was 78 years old. Like, I guess some forego the retirement.
Right.
Some actually enjoy their job, you know, and they enjoy molding youth. And Mr. Spaeth evidently did that, although he never molded us because we just cut his class. But she said, did 30 years and I retired. And I was like, well, what are you doing now? And she's like, this. My husband, we were in Italy for 5 weeks. My husband's retired too. And I thought, now look, you don't get rich off the school teacher's pension, but what you do get is you don't have to work for the rest of your life in possibly your early 50s, mid 50s. We got to bump that shit up. Yeah. Number one.
Did you tell that to her?
Go back.
Well, she's
full of wine and vinegar,
traveling the world, tasting wines and vineyards all over the world. And it's great, except for we do pay for it. And I don't know anybody else who has that option who just is in the private sector. Everyone, all those, you know, And it'll work occasionally in the private sector, like if you work for some big defense contractor and you put in your 30 years or your 35 years or something, you'll have that as well. But now that people are so young for so long, shouldn't we start trying to negotiate that number a little bit? It used to be you retired at 65, you died at 66. That's the way we liked
it. We all accepted it.
But now you go fresh out of college, go right into teaching, hang out, and by the time you're 53, 54, you're in the south of France, man.
Oh, and I think with the new legislation, you go right into teaching, and you might have most of that debt wiped out, too.
That's right. Depending on what community you go to teach.
Yeah.
So also then she was explaining, like, back in the day, how they used to be able to kind of discipline people, shame them
corporal.
A little bit.
The dunce cap.
She said, oh, Stromer gave me a story I forgot about, but she said her hall pass for the bathroom was an entire toilet seat. And what that would do is it would discourage kids
from just taking
from
off.
Every 10 minutes going, I got to use the bathroom. All right, here's your full-size toilet seat.
Nice.
Have fun negotiating
like
the hallway.
Gas station.
Yeah, so things like that were effective, but would be a no-fly zone, that teacher would definitely be disciplined at this point. But the toilet seat hall pass definitely one. But Stromer was telling me about that. Stromer is a little ADD. Mm. He's has trouble, might have some impulse issues, you know what I mean?
Like not choking?
Just he'll blurt out a song or blurt something out, or, you know, he's loquacious and friendly. And
that is a hallmark of ADHD.
Does not work well in the classroom in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
Same.
And his teacher, Mr. Williams, I wrote it down, would take a refrigerator box and set it over him and his desk. Literally, one too many outbursts, and you just get the box.
That's fucking awesome.
I said, you know, it's a true story, because I said, he just had a full-size refrigerator. He said, no, it didn't have a top or a bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And he would just fold it. Mm-hmm. It would just fold into itself and lean against the wall. And then,
as a constant threat.
As Stromer acted out, he'd get the box out. He set it simply over his desk,
that's
and he
awesome.
Would have to ride out. I said, how long in the box? He said, to whenever the class ended. Mm-hmm. He was in the box.
38 minutes.
And then I started saying, what'd you do in the box? He said, well, I made a little hole at some point. I could see some of what was going on in the outside world.
That's awesome.
It's like Ace Ventura and the Rhino.
Yeah. Little Stromer was here, like bathroom writing.
Then he started fantasizing and creating a whole world inside of the box, because he's just got his number two pencil and he's staring at the inside of some cardboard. He's got some light peeking in through the top.
That's a palette, baby.
That's amazing.
He's a creative guy.
Yeah.
So he created a magical kingdom inside of his box.
That's so great.
Can you imagine? Now, obviously, if you were the parents of the kid who got the box, in 1974, you'd be like, well, shut up and you won't get the bus.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Now it'd be like, we're suing the school board, we're suing the teachers, you know, this is a hate crime and blah, blah, blah. But
that's such a great idea. You're not hurting them. They can't, it's not like they can't breathe.
This would be an interesting turn.
And in the event of a school shooting, who knows? Maybe they just walk right past you.
Speaking of school shootings, it'd be a good deterrent. You put that, or you got a trouble kid, right? You're like, this dude, he likes to torture animals. He's up to no good. I feel dangerous about this kid. Put the box around him. See what he draws.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
The inside of the box.
And in the event of a school shooting, I'm not saying
the target and a likeness of you. Run.
I don't think the box would prevent any bullets from passing through.
Oh,
it.
No, that's not what we're saying.
I'm saying
they walk right past you.
The horrible student who was bullied horribly would probably find a Confederate inside of that box. We're on the same team.
Another victim like me of the
system.
Like
a message,
yeah. Yeah, like I got to go shoot the jocks at you.
Yeah.
Right.
I had the box back in the day. I remember it well. Those are my writings.
Yeah.
So then it made me think of my favorite.
Where are we going with this?
After school. My favorite Sunday night movie with Scott Jacoby. Bad Ronald.
Oh, yeah.
Bad Ronald was trapped under the staircase, and he started creating a whole fantasy about princesses and a faraway land because he was in his own box, much like Stromer.
Who did Stromer kill? Unclear?
He killed whatever the lesson plan was day, but I'll play you 1 minute where the Bad Ronald, and you can see. So he starts by killing a kid. Brian, do not miss... He pushes her.
Oh, yeah.
She hits her head.
A $1 Million Baby style.
Yeah.
Takes refuge in a fantasy world.
All will be for nothing if we don't heed the rules.
Today I begin drawing Princess Vansetta.
That's what Stromer did.
An existence that becomes inescapable and deadly. Starring Kim Hunter, Dabney Coleman, and Scott Jacoby in a compelling thriller. Bad Ronald.
Yeah, he's in there, and he's explaining that he created a princess in a faraway land, and it just made me think of Stromer trapped in that box.
Just reminded me of something. In my older brother's class in high school, and we went to a Catholic high school, and we were taught by a bunch of Christian brothers, and one of the brothers was Brother Cecil, and Brother Cecil was like... the guy who sang Good Golly Miss Molly.
Little Richard?
Little Richard.
Yeah.
Exactly like Little Richard. And what he would do if you were disrupting his class, he had a section of the class called Hell. And he would tell you to go to hell.
Oh, right.
And and my brother spent quite a bit of time in hell.
Brother Cecil.
Yeah, first off, makes me nostalgic about the corral, the Donkey Squad, where I spent quite a bit of my youth. All the greats, evidently, except for Dawson's brother, ended up in some portion that was carved out. All right. Wow. I got many other thoughts. I went to a concert. I went to another concert. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond, the brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. We use their epoxies, their super glues, their putty sticks, big and small projects, any surface just about, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. Keep in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, craft supplies, and, of course, in your garage. Let's not be ugly Americans. When something breaks, fix it with JB Weld. Don't throw it in the landfill. Also, they're the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, well, they've got you covered. And you can get JB Weld just about anywhere, and I suggest you have some on hand when something breaks. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And it's proudly made in the USA. It is JB Weld. All right, quick break. I'll tell you about my concert weekend right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy
to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Discharge.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. So I went to the Greek Theater.
Oh, beautiful.
To see the Bare Naked Ladies, who a very enjoyable band to see in person, a good band anyway, good live band, and finally figured out which one was Harlan Williams' cousin.
He was there.
He's a bare naked lady.
An actual bare naked lady.
An actual bare naked lady.
Wow.
So very fun band, very good. Now, I like to, I don't know if you guys do this to yourself, maybe this is just me, but I like to come up with a song that they may play, but probably won't, so I can be a little bit disappointed.
Always.
Always. And Bare Naked Ladies have been around for 30 years, and they've had many hits, and they're going to have to play those many hits. But I got on to the Bare Naked Ladies in 1993, 1994.
Were they K-Rocky?
There was a station, and one of these days, maybe Dawson can figure it out, or Emmy or whatever. I've tried to figure it out before. There was a very brief period of time in about 1992, but maybe the station came around in 91, where there was an alternative station. It was not K-Rock. K-Rock was, at that point, they're playing like Flock of Seagulls and stuff like that, and they're good. But then there was this other one in Los Angeles, and they started playing Sheryl Crow. Now, this is like early 90s, very early 90s. They started playing Blues Traveler. They started playing Bare Naked Ladies. And I was like, oh, what is all this stuff? Because, you know, Blues Traveler, before you'd heard Blues Traveler, it was revelatory when you heard it in like 1992. And Sheryl Crow was that way and Bare Naked Ladies. And I used to listen to that radio station. Oh, they would play the Jayhawks. And they would play, and
I'll buy you some time because there was a station when I came here in 96 in the later 90s called Y107. I'm assuming this is different because they were a big competitor to K-Rock for a short period, 1 or 2 years.
I think this was earlier than that.
The only reason I'm asking is Sheryl Crow broke through in about 95-ish.
Well, maybe it was Y107 because I thought this was earlier than that, like 92, 93. But now we got to figure out when she broke through and when Blues Traveler broke through, and then Victoria Williams, who was really good as well. And I was listening to all this. I was going, oh, this stuff's great. And so my first Bare Naked Lady song I heard, Dawson has it. I enjoyed this one. I don't know why you wouldn't play this one live. And like all Bare Naked Lady songs, kind of funny. Anyone heard this one?
No.
Make sure the customers are thieves. Old being young. Young it being old. Everything's on hold.
Alternative girlfriend?
Yes. You remember this one?
Vaguely. I think I've heard this song a couple times.
Yeah, and so all his songs are funny. All their songs are funny. All right. Kind of kicks.
Did they play it and dedicate it to you?
No.
Oh.
They missed this one. So I have to do what I do. I pick a fringy, but it's got to be, I've heard it. It's got to be played on the radio. Okay. It's got to be mm-hmm. a chance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then always then when I meet the band backstage after the show, they always go, oh, yeah, we used to play that one all the time. We played that one a whole Canadian tour.
I was just playing the last day on the tour.
Yes, but still a great show. Then there was this. I was in Malibu, and I was like, all right, Bare Naked Ladies. Let's check the schedule. Okay, they hit the stage at 9 p.m. Okay. Well, from Malibu to the Greek Theater, that's a schlep.
It's a haul.
But, you know, traffic won't be too bad. Maybe take an hour. Leave a little before 8. Then it's who's the opening band? I don't know. Snotty Scotty and the Hankies? I'll pass. We'll just see the Bare Naked Ladies. No, the Gin Blossoms are going to open for
them. Fucking hey, man.
So I'm like, oh. All right. Well,
now we got to back up extra 45.
Now I got to see the Gin Blossoms now. So I'm like, and there's another band. And I'm like, okay, but the other band.
Some local you never heard of.
Right. Somebody, family member.
Yeah.
Maybe of the Bare Naked Ladies. Going to do an acoustic set. Hard pass. Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I've seen twice in concert.
I fucking love Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Me too.
They're hitting the stage at 7 sharp.
Now you got to show up when the sun's still up.
Oh my God. Fucking hour and 40 minutes later.
You got to wear your Tevas to this show. You got to go full 90s.
Oh my God. So
that's awesome.
It was quite the lineup.
All I want is to feel this way.
Oh, Toad the Wet Sprocket has a ton of hits. You know,
walk on.
You'll
the
have
ocean.
Yeah. You'll know five of them for sure, and they're a really good band. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh man, okay. So then, so that was enough driving for Friday night. But then Saturday, Mike had arranged a corporate gig for me from Malibu once again to the city of Chino.
Holy crap.
To the Chino Air Museum.
Where is Chino?
Really
it's
far east.
Another hour and 40 minutes out.
Ontario-ish.
Oh, yes. Northeast-ish.
Yes. So then there was that pilgrimage where I was in the backstage area. It was a guy throwing himself a 60th birthday. He's going to have me.
That's cool.
A Rod Stewart cover band.
That's like a turn halfway through.
You really slowed down.
Yeah. And
Rod Stewart.
Oh, and a David Bowie cover band. But they're all going on after me. And so then I'm waiting in the green room area with the guys clearly dressed as Rod Stewart. So I want to get the set list.
Is this the plot of Road Hard 2? Are you opening for two cover bands?
That's right. So I said,
Chino.
I said, look, I got some Rod Stewart songs I love, and I got some ones I hate. Mm-hmm. So let's go over the set list. So I just got robbed of Alternative Girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, what do you like? I like, First Cut is the Deepest.
Oh, it's great.
He's like, yeah, we don't do that one.
Okay.
I said, how about Handbags and Glad Rags, which is a beautiful song.
You're digging away. Yeah, he's like, cover bands.
No. I said, Downtown Train. He's like, we used to do that one. We don't do that one anymore.
Why did you retire it?
That's right. But we do Passion and Hot Legs 4 times. So
yeah. They do If You Want My Body, Anything I'm Sexy.
Yes, yes. It's all the worst of Rod. All the worst of Rod. But they have to do those songs. And so I said, all right, well, let's see.
Yeah, if you're the cover band, you are beholden to the hit, like the big, broad hits. Because if you're the band, you break out like, you know, one for the fans and they love it.
So now I'm like, all right, hour and 40 minutes back to Malibu. Okay, so I'm going to go on stage at 8. I'm going to do a half hour. And Mike's like, there's a meet and greet.
Oh, God. Midnight?
The meet and greet is between you and the Rod Stewart band. So you're going to do your set. We're going to be meet and greet. Then you can leave. Rod's going to hit the stage. Mm. So I finish my set, and as I'm walking off the stage, Rod is just walking on stage.
Oh, no.
He's supposed to do a half hour. He does an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
He goes every song that's... Yes, he's getting into Faces songs of Rod Stewart. He's going deep.
He's doing the Standards covers from later in his career.
He's doing it all, and now
just
I'm
the
sitting...
way you look.
I'm sitting back there, and they're like... Well, the meet and greet's now after Rod, so you can't go anywhere until Rod is finished. But
Rod,
I got a 90-minute drive back to Malibu after that. But they fed me, and it was at a museum, a warplane museum.
Oh,
so
you would have been there anyway.
Well, I waited around for like an hour, and then at some point they went, "You want a tour of the museum?" I was like, "Fuck yeah, I want a tour of the museum." And we went and looked at all this crazy stuff. And the first thing, most of it's World War II stuff, but the first thing you realize is they had little regard for human life back then, and it wasn't just who they were fighting, it was their own.
Inside the plane.
There were a couple of flying devices, I wouldn't call them airplanes.
Not airworthy.
Toward the end of the war, Japanese and the Germans got pretty desperate, and they're like, this thing here is, it looks like a, cigar tube with small wings on it, no landing gear, no anything. It's like this was meant to just be dropped from a bomber, Japanese bomber, and then the rockets fired up, and then you just shot this big scatter shot of missiles in front of it that just blew out. You're trying to take out bombers, American bombers, and there was no landing, and there was no punching out. There's no ejector seat. There's no anything. Once you got into this, we know where you're going.
Yeah.
The Germans had one that just fired straight into the air. So basically...
and stayed there?
We didn't... they'd try to take out bombers too, but you'd climb into this thing.
Oh, God.
They didn't have... The computer back then was the human mind.
Right.
So there was no way to control an airplane without a human mind in it, and there's no way to fire the rockets or do any of that without the human doing it. So they needed volunteers.
Right.
But those volunteers were like never coming back. And then they had just full kamikaze ones that were made for ships that were simply, you get in this thing, we fire it up, and you fly into the side of that ship, and the whole plane is a warhead. I mean, the entire device is one TNT, and you just see if you can hit a sweet spot on the ship.
Shit.
And it was just a lot of crazy suicide missions that they were coming up. It's also...
Meanwhile, the Rod Stewart cover band is playing Forever Young.
Yes, that's right. It was also insane just to see what we were flying in the 1940s versus the jet age and where we're at now and, Top Gun and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this stuff was archaic. Everything was mechanical. There wasn't any computing or electronics at all on the planes. They were huge, rickety. I mean, you just get scared. When you see them in flight, they look sort of majestic.
Yeah.
When you get up on them, they just look like one big tetanus shot, one just big tin tube, and you climb into it and burlap straps and stuff. Like, it was really hairy. Like, what we were asking those guys to do in those planes. I mean, these guys were on farms 2 years earlier. Now they're on
they're
a carrier
kids.
And they're being launched in one of these giant tubs to go bomb. It's insane.
Footnote to that, I often think about how loud those must have been because we're all used to commercial air travel. It's just they must have been rickety and vibrating and just deafening.
Oh, my God. You can find, I don't know.
The pilot is either adjacent to or just behind, or I don't know where the wing, obviously a little behind it, but like you're right there by the propellers, what I meant to say. You're right there by the goddamn two propellers.
Oh, when you look at a plane, look up a plane called the Jug from World War II. The front of it, it was radial. Everything was wide, spread out, not the Tom Cruise sort of sleek Mustang.
Needle nose.
That's in line. Yeah, that showed up later. These were just these massive. I don't know how they worked. I don't know how they got back to the ship. There was no computing going on.
So
it was crazy.
The question I always have when we talk about like stuff, archaic, primitive stuff from before, obviously factor in the fact that they know they're not coming back with these. But if you're there, do you think like, oh, this is pretty futuristic? Or are you like, this is shit?
Well, it's cutting edge.
That's what I'm saying.
At
like, does it look cutting edge to them? Or are they like, look, we know we're not there yet.
Well, remember the Wright brothers were 30 only, like 30 years earlier.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So now.
Then it's cutting edge.
This is a huge. You can see how small the pilot is.
Snoopy is the Red Baron in there?
Yes. They were. So in their world, people were flying. In World War One, people are flying with canvas covered wings. And.
Sounds like a Dolly Parton song.
And triplanes, like three stacked on top of each other. Biplanes with canvas coverings on all the whole plane. So now you're flying at 400 miles an hour and you're firing a machine gun at some other plane. It had, and you're doing a barrel roll and stuff. It's such a quantum leap from World War One, which is like 1918, to 1941, 1942, that they had to be thinking this is the craziest technology ever.
Yeah.
But then you also realize they didn't have any computers to design everything. So everything was just its own bespoke thing. And every plane looked weird and different. They had a Japanese Zero in there. They had a German Messerschmitt that sunk to the bottom of a lake and they fished it all out. Like, it was a crazy, wide open era of just whatever you think works, try it. We'll get someone in that thing.
Wow.
They're probably not coming back.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. So then I got the tour and I felt satiated.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Rod.
And Rod kept going and then Rod wrapped it and then Bowie. The Bowie band didn't look like Bowie.
Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah. He just was, fuck it. But the
you gotta maintain the illusion.
That's the whole point.
And also, you know what you realize? Like, so you're sitting in this airplane hangar. There's 150 people scattered around eating, drinking at on folding tables. You're up on kind of like a makeshift stage in the back, and you're playing a Bowie song. And it sounds good. Like, it sounds like Bowie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the guy's playing the bass. Looks like he's in his late 60s and he's got a little too much Grecian formula. And the backup singer chick's got a couple extra pounds on her and stuff. And you think, these guys are just, they're getting $150 a piece and going home and going back to their apartment tonight. And then you think, the difference between the multi-cajillionaire sort of rock star and the people that can just competently play and sounds good. And I don't even know that there would be a huge difference between Rod and Bowie. Well, Bowie now, but I just mean, like, if you were just outside of the hangar having a drink with me, I don't know if you'd hear a big difference between the fake Rod Stewart and the real and the musicianship of everyone who's playing all the hits and stuff. Those guys get no pussy, no money, and no nothing versus the hill on the house on the hill with the Lamborghini and all the swooning fans.
Who thought of it first?
Yeah, pays to write the songs.
Yeah, it does. It totally pays to write the songs, but even just perform them. Like the guy's playing the bass in Bowie's band and write them, but he was
just
there.
Just as good as the bass player in this touring band.
There's so many people who can do it competently and yet.
Big chasm.
Big chasm.
I'm going to a concert that I think you'll respect or at least have thoughts about on Wednesday night, and I cannot wait. Orpheum Theater, Wednesday night, downtown L.A., Tori Amos.
Tori Amos.
So excited.
It'll be a quiet show.
And how dare you?
I said that's the last time I was at the Greek.
Oh, right.
Was it for Tori Amos?
So fucking excited. And you'll be thrilled to know that in late September, my friend and I already have tickets to ABBA the concert with the ABBA tribute band.
I'm sure they're as good or better than ABBA because that's all they
That's right. Very excited.
Yeah.
They probably know the songs better than the band.
Yeah. Well, they have the hologram show in London now, but I'd rather see a tribute band than the hologram show.
There's something sad. Emmy, you have to look it up, but the ABBA story, there's something sad about one of the ladies in ABBA. No. One of the ladies in ABBA got divorced from Bjorn or whoever she was married
to.
Benny or Bjorn. And then maybe packed on a couple pounds, fell on some harder times maybe, and ended up just marrying a fan, a huge ABBA fan.
Really?
Who turn out to be a pretty big fan at the beginning, but maybe the bloom was off the rose at a certain point.
He was in love with the image, the classic.
So not only did she marry just a fan, but the fan was not that into her anymore.
His taste evolved.
You can look for
it. Days of base.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but something happened that she ended up just getting a little older, and ABBA fell out of favor for a while. So what happens is they're
ears.
The biggest band in the world. Yeah. And then at some point they become kind of like a punchline or something because everyone wants the cool, young, fresh stuff. And then at some point they come back in vogue. But during the downtime,
the lean years, but not for her.
Be a little vulnerable.
Wow.
And I don't know all the official particulars.
And they were both very attractive women. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Foxy.
I saw Tori Amos, who I enjoy, but I probably wouldn't have went to the Greek to see Tori Amos with my gay assistant.
Who would you have taken?
Well, what happened was is we were filming the Adam Carolla project, and we cast, and essentially
negligence.
Cast a flamboyantly gay man to be my assistant, who actually was my assistant, but it was funnier on camera. Yeah. And we'd have these arguments, and he was very delightful and outspoken. I wish I had a refrigerator box. And we thought, it's going to be funny. We're going to do a whole date night out with my gay assistant.
Sounds
we're
going
to go see Tori Amos, but of course, we would film. You know, we would film at the job site, and then we'd film us. You know, shooting pool, having beers afterward. They just film me at home. They just film everything all the time, and so there's going to be more content for the show. And at the very last second, they were like, "We don't have the crew. We're not going to do it." And I was like, whew, "Bullet dodge. I'm not going." And then I looked into his eyes.
Oh,
he was
no.
Like, I thought we were going Tears to see Tori welling. Amos. And I was like, it was kind of for the, and you're like, we were not. And so I ended up going to Tori Amos.
Wow, what a guy.
Agneta Feltskog.
Okay.
Is who, Emmy?
That's your assistant?
That's who you're looking for from ABBA. So I'm reading here that after they got married in 1971. In 1979, they divorced. It greatly affected her, and she needed therapy afterwards. Her second marriage in 1990 was to Thomas Sonnenfeld.
Who's Agneta Feltskog?
I have her from ABBA.
She was one of the A's in ABBA, I guess.
Oh.
Yeah. ABBA's her initials.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. So is she the blonde or the brunette? Well, maybe you don't know. Okay, the blonde. So then the blonde fell out of their marriage, ended with the other ABBA guy. Mm-hmm. And then she fell into a depression. And then she remarried when?
1990.
So, in 1990,
like
you know, at this point, we were celebrating Guns N' Roses and Nirvana.
Yeah. Really good
at this point. And ABBA couldn't have been further away from that. And there was no cool kids that were into ABBA anymore. Yeah. We were all into Guns N' Roses and Nirvana, and we're going to have nothing to do with ABBA. So they bottomed out or topped out. She's going to ask her friend. And so then she married. Now, who'd she marry?
So Thomas Sonnenfeld was a surgeon and a fan. The ceremony was held privately and became public knowledge when they divorced 3 years later.
And I think, I don't know if he was abusive or he was something. He was a fan. How do you burn out that fast on a band that big when you're a fan?
You've been hanging on until 1990, for God's sake.
I don't get it.
Any other official particulars there?
Nothing yet.
And there were two couples in ABBA.
Mm-hmm.
So Agnetha was with Bjorn and Benny was with Annie. So they were. It was the two-twosomes.
Uh-huh. Right.
Interesting. very Fleetwood Mac.
And then they got divorced, and then she married this guy.
Oh, boy.
And he's a super fan, and he must have been a super fan for 20 years.
And a surgeon.
And then 3 years in.
Flamed out.
It's off. But I remember, I don't know, it was one of those behind-the-music things or something. He got I don't know if he was abusive or what the hell happened.
She didn't choke on a ham sandwich,
but,
did she?
They're all around ABBA, right?
Are they all still with us?
I
couldn't tell you, man.
Well, I know they're not I know they refuse to do a show together, so whoever is still alive, they are not friendly. That's why there's the hologram show and not the actual show.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see if any of them are alive. Let me hit a spot here. In LifeLock, higher property values have increased home title fraud. The fraudsters, they file a title transfer to a bogus ID, then sells, refinances, or takes a loan against the victim's property. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft can affect our lives. Your personal info gets exposed so often. It's so easy for cyber criminals to steal your identity. Protecting your identity is easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. So if you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Well,
yeah, they're all alive.
Yeah, Agneta. First off, Agneta is 72 years old, which is young as shit, considering. I mean,
they were already superstars.
They were huge 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, she must have been a kid. And then Annie went another direction. She married a prince from
Sweden.
Smart
move.
Yeah, that's a better move.
That's a better. She's 76. I mean, look, in a world, unless you work for the L.A. Unified School District, 72, you know, in a world of Who's and Rolling Stones and these guys out there making and being a Ringo Starr, yeah. Paul McCartney. Like,
there's an audience built in, man.
There's plenty of youth at 72 to go out and perform. Yeah. And I don't know how much ABBA could make on a world tour, but Buku.
Well, they really have Broadway to thank, because when the show Mamma Mia came to Broadway, and it was a huge hit at the Winter Garden.
A lot of bottoms in that crowd.
Oh, my God. And then the movie with Meryl Streep. I mean, that was a huge pop revival for them. Like, that's like people's kids knowing who ABBA was.
All right. We're waiting for John and Brittany Force, but I have to go to the doctor and get my stitches out of my hand today. Oh. So I'm on a little bit of a time crunch
here.
Yeah. Big day. So we will take a quick break, and we'll come back, and John and Brittany will join us as soon as they do.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses. Plus, updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?